Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. Woo! Cool jazz. This is our first show of 2018. I have Richard Lunt in the studio and Micah and Zara's on the board. And we're going to be talking about how to get a great job in 2018. But before we do, how did you survive the winter storm of 2018? I tell you, it was snowing so hard and so fast. It was just unbelievable. I think it was, Richard, if you want to chime in, like 3 inches an hour or something like that. It was unbelievable. We both live in Attleboro, so how did you fare through the storm?
Well, I fared pretty well. I came out unscathed, but my back is a little sore today with the all the snow removal process, you know, with the going through the shoveling and the snow blowing and everything like that. But,
now, let me ask you this. Do you have a system of snow removal? Because some of my neighbors who have snow blowers initially started out, you know, when it first started coming down, and then they waited till the end of the storm, like around 8 o'clock, and redid their driveways. Or do you wait until the end of the storm and then you just go out there?
Yeah, I just wait until the end of the storm and then I just go out there and plug away and just do the snow blower and shovel the walk and everything and shovel the steps. Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen so much snow and it came down so fast. And if you can tell, yes, I still have a bit of a bronchitis, I guess. I've survived the flu, and now it's bronchitis. But by next week or the week after, I'll be my old self again. Watch out. Anyway, my neighbors were great. They came and they snowblowed part of the drive. And then a friend of mine came over around 9 o'clock that night and did the snow removal. My back door, I couldn't get out of my back door. The snow was so high, it almost came up to the window. I never seen so much snow drifting. I mean, it was unbelievable. And Mike, you live in East Greenwich. How was it down there?
It was bad. I mean, the snow was like almost up to the middle section of the door on your car. And I was one of those that I waited until probably around 4:30, 5 o'clock to go outside. But it was that Acme, Rhode Island, heavy Acme snow mix company snow. You know, the kind that you can make a foundation for a building out of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the snow. Right. It's like, and then you got the water and the snow and ice all mixed together. So it was like super heavy.
Cement.
I still have sections of my driveway that I have to finish later today. But I got through most of it, and I did it in like, when I went out there, I did most of it in that first time, but then I did some more yesterday morning before I went to work. But the cars were like, no, we couldn't get the cars out until last night. It was bad.
It was all encased. My car was like all encased in ice and snow. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, what happened up in Gloucester, Massachusetts. They told everybody to park in the high school field, and a lot of cars were damaged because of the storm, and you know they had the surge, you know, storm surges, and water coming into the parking lots, and everything was frozen. Cars were damaged, and
oh my god,
up in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Right. Yeah. Oh man, unreal. Well, Jim Corbin will be calling in at 7:35,
and no one can blame him for that because again,
he
reports the weather. He doesn't make the weather.
Finally, somebody gets it. Yes, because poor Jim and all the meteorologists were taking quite the ribbing, I guess, over the weekend.
But they were on target though with the
weather and
all the amounts and everything. So.
You know, I have to say every channel got it right, which is great. And there was plenty of warning, and there was plenty of advisories out there. And the governor in Rhode Island said that everybody, you know, stay off the roads. And when I went to work on Friday, I have to say 95 was smooth sailing. I mean, it was right down to the road. You know, there was no slippery areas at all or nothing. But I do have to tell you, folks, and I know that other people have telling you this too. If you are on the highway and your car starts to shake and rattle around 50 to 60 miles an hour, it's because you have frozen snow in the rims. And because I got off the highway when I started on the highway, my car started to shake. And I pulled off and I went to the garage and I said to them, hey, my, you know, what's going on? So they looked at all my wheels and everything. They said, oh, yeah, you've got a buildup of ice and snow in your rims. Just, you know, it'll dissipate. It'll melt when it gets warmer, but don't run it to that degree. Don't go that fast, he said, because you could burn out your wheel bearings. So mm-hmm. just so FYI, if you're noticing that, it's nothing wrong with your automobile. It's just that there's accumulation of snow and ice in your wheel wells, which I didn't know. So just be aware. Yeah. So I have some good news, though. Remember Vista Donuts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have some great news because it was just sold. Vista Donuts was closed, you know, last May. But it was sold for $1 million. And this Mr. Patel from Westwood, owner of an investment company, bought it. And they bought it last month. They're updating all the equipment. And I understand they're going to be opening within 6 months. And they're going to rebrand it. They're going to keep the same similar donuts and lottery and things like that. And so that is like a really great moneymaker. And that was a good, that is a good investment. It's, you know, centrally located, it's very popular, and it has a reputation of being one of the most winning lottery places in the state.
Yeah, great location, too, yeah.
Is it still going to be called Mr. Donuts?
No. Wow. No, it was Vista Donut.
Vista Donut?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's
it was
cool.
Vista Donut, and it was open day and night and into the, I mean, it's just really amazing. So, yeah, so I was really happy to see that someone actually bought that that establishment, and yeah, they said that they're going to upgrade with new equipment and a new look, but it's going to say, you know, basically the same format of donuts and things like that, and coffee, of course. So I'm really happy to report that too. But I have some information about how to prepare for a winter storm, and if you're interested and would like a copy of it, you can email me and request. Just give me your name and address, and I'll be happy to send it off to you at radiolady34@gmail.com. And I got that Gmail account because my daughter said, Mom, get rid of that AOL account. Nobody uses AOL. I said, look, I know people that have a Juno account. I said, don't go there, you know. But there are a lot of different things in here about emergency notifications and stuff. And when Jim Corbin calls in, I want to know, he'll explain to us like the weather advisory, the storm watch, or the storm warning. There are three different types and terms that you should know for a weather storm. So we all say that, you know, before the winter storm, there are certain things that you should do. Make sure you have 1 gallon of water per person for at least 3 days. I know when I was at the store, I don't know if you went and stocked up on your bread and milk, Richard, but there were a lot of people buying cases and cases of water, which is a really pretty good idea. They also say have a 3-day supply of food. Make sure you have a flashlight. A cell phone charger. I can't tell you. I left my phone on the charger throughout the whole storm because I figured, you know, you never know if it's going to go out. But I never, in Attleboro, like where I live in my section, I never lost power.
Yeah, I never lost power myself. But, you know, with my cell phone, I charge it during the evening usually. And then when it's all charged, I shut it off. So it doesn't harm the battery at all either. So. And then when I'm ready to use it, I can use it in a spare emergency, you mm-hmm. know, during the storm. So I don't want to use the power.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I was doing that. Like I was plugging it in and I was checking my emails from work. I was, you know, on Facebook, you know, my sister was like, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, generally it's 80 degrees down in Florida. But however, it's like 30 something down there, too. And they got some light snow down there. It was just really amazing. I mean, they didn't get snow down in Florida. I'm talking Virginia, they got snow down there, that my other sister. But my sister Diane and her husband left the day before the storm, mm-hmm. and they thought that they were coming back into like warmer climate, but it was like in the high 30s and up to 50 was the high. I think today it's going up to the 60s only, and for Florida, and they live on the West Coast, I guess, Fort Myers. I don't know where that is, but they're really complaining about the cold weather. I said, but it's 60 degrees. I said, we're minus 12 here. I said,
60 degrees is balmy up in this neck of the woods. You know?
I said, I'll take 60 degrees, you know. But they were up here during the holiday season with Christmas and New Year, and then they just flew out. They were very fortunate to get out. Yeah, they were very fortunate. Anyway, folks, so you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you'd like to jump on the line and join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you, especially with the new year and everything. I know last week we had a group in and we were talking about New Year's resolutions and what are some of the top ones. And all through this week, I'm seeing ads from, you know, Planet Fitness and WOW and Health Tricks, and everybody has discounts and Nutrisystem and Weight Watchers, and everybody's hitting us in January. And, I mean, I guess the theory or the logic behind that is, like, you know, a new year, you know, a new you. That was one of the taglines. And it was like, no, if I'm going to change, I would change, you know, at my speed. Not because you're telling me that I should at the new year. I mean, everybody has to want the change. And, you know, you have to adapt to that change and make that commitment and everything. So, and so, like, resolutions, I think we were talking about resolutions last week, and most of us were saying, nah, we don't believe in resolutions, or I try to do this, or I'm going to try to do that. But I know, like, back in the day, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, you got to make all these resolutions. But basically, they're just goals, aren't they?
Yeah, they are goals. I mean, and, you know, like I said last week, one of my goals is to keep in shape, which I have been doing all along. I mean, I exercise like one or two times, sometimes three times a week, depending on my schedule, and mm-hmm. yeah, and I keep to that schedule. You know,
very good.
Now, whether it's weights or whether it's running on the treadmill or doing the ellipticals or even getting outside doing some running too. Not in the wintertime, but basically in the spring and the summertime.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
But just keep to a schedule, doing some biking and hiking as well. So.
That is very good. That is great. I have to get into that sort of thing and more activity. I have to. I mean, I've lost some weight. I've lost like 6 pounds being sick, but I don't recommend that as a diet plan.
No. Absolutely not.
No. So, but I think that it's important to, you know, to look over your life and see what you can change for the better. And I think moving forward, I think it's always good and healthy to do that.
And then keep a positive attitude as well.
Always, yeah, always too. Yeah, I think that that makes a big difference in your whole outlook. I think that people that have a healthier outlook, a healthier lifestyle, live longer too. So that's what the statistics say, so I don't know. Anyway, folks, we are going to take our very first break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning. My name is Elaine LaRoche. And on the flip side of this break, we're going to talk to Richard Lunt about why he came in today so early. So if you're looking for a job, if you want to know about resume writing, what are the latest and greatest jobs that you can find? So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages.
In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
The meeting of the Gatcher Consumer Advisory Committee will take place in the Balfour Room of the Attleboro Public Library on Thursday, January 18th from 1 to 2 p.m. This meeting is open to the public. Anyone wishing to come speak about issues with the Gatcher fixed route or paratransit services is invited to attend. Group transportation to and from the meeting is provided free of charge by GATRA, and the meeting is accessible to individuals with disabilities. To arrange for a ride to the next meeting, you can call 508-824-1367 by noon the day before the meeting.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to AttleboroElks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Using WIC is easier than ever. Now you can use the WIC card instead of checks for your food purchases. WIC is a free nutrition program that helps working families stretch their food budget and make healthy choices. WIC helps families learn to shop for nutritious foods and offers resources like online nutrition education and an app to make shopping easier. Visit us online at mass.gov/WIC to find out if you qualify. This message is brought to you by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health's WIC Nutrition Program.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Thank you.
too many of you to cry.
Woo, good morning. We are chilling with some smooth jazz and some Marvin Gaye. Yes, siree. Well, good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our telephone number is 508-222-1320. And we have Richard Lunt here. And we're going to be talking to Richard about anything and everything about job searching strategy. So, Richard, I will let you go ahead and take it away.
Okay, thank you very much. The first thing I want to talk about is starting your job search. Say if you've been out of work for a long time, or if you're a career changer, and how to actually plan a job search. And it comes in like different stages. And stage one is like prepare yourself for the job search, doing some research into different industries, different occupations that you want to consider, different career, whether it's sales or human resources or IT. I mean, and do a lot of research and how your skill set fits into some of those type of jobs and industries. And then you also want to develop your marketing plan around whatever, whatever things that you want to do as far as jobs, whether it's, like I said, HR or sales or what have you. And you want to create your marketing documents around that. And the second stage is implementing your search through networking. Networking is a big part of the job search. Develop a network, whether it's recruiters. In my case, I reach out to a lot of recruiters and HR people to develop my network on LinkedIn, use social media quite effectively, and that's how you build your contact. Attend networking events as well, whether it's there's a networking area that I go to. It's called WIND. It's every other Thursday, and that's a networking thing for people who are looking for jobs or people who are out of work and struggling, and they want to get back into the workforce. And it's a great way to networking. So attend networking meetings and get to know other people from other industries. Maybe you've been in an industry and you want to change your industry. So that's a great way to network with folks there as far as doing the network and the job search thing. And also the other part of your plan is to respond to job advertisements and all of that. And then another stage is when you complete your job search, then you're ready for your interviewing and negotiating and transition into a new job. But the main thing, though, is part of the stage, you want to also develop your resume, too, around what you want to look at as far as your career. Once you look at your career and once you look at your job, the type of job that you want or the career you want, you need to develop your resume and target that resume to different jobs that you might want. Say, in my case, I've chosen HR because that's a passion that I have. So I market my resume towards different HR positions, such as HR coordinator, HR administrator, HR generalist. And I look at the job descriptions, and I try and fit some of those job descriptions into my resume, the buzzwords, so that creates greater value. So when the hiring manager sees that that resume, I have a greater chance of getting called, or at least getting a phone interview or a phone screen, or even that, an in-person interview as well. So those are some of the tips that I can offer you as far as job searching and everything like that. But also, you want to create an action plan in your job search. So when you want to be organized, use technology, whether it's LinkedIn, some of the others, Indeed.com, when you're responding to job ads or Career Builder or Monster.com. I usually use Indeed and also Simply Hired. That's another job search tool that when I go look for jobs online portion. But you want to also establish a schedule and adhere to that schedule, whether it's a daily task, you know, I got to follow up on job leads, or I have to call this person to find out if what the next steps are. You know, you want to develop that contact or adhere to that schedule too, and also continue to develop your network as you go along, going attending networking events, and you want to touch base with that person, have a cup of coffee with them, the person, and you know, get to know, pick their brain a little bit as far as the industry and, you know, informational type of interviews. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit of networking involved in there too. So you want to establish that schedule and adhere to your schedule, whether it's networking or the tools that you use to have a job search and everything like that. And you want to categorize your emails too, as far as, you know, you say if you have a HR or sales person that you have and as a contact list, you want to categorize that as a, you know, salesperson or sales jobs and sales career, and have the emails under that category. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, HR people, and I have that whole list of people that I can contact with, you know, recruiters or hiring managers, and I have a whole list of people in the HR industry and their email, so I know exactly who I could contact and send them a resume or a general resume too. Here, I'm looking for a generalist position, or here it's where I can add value to your company, and then, you know, take it from there. Also, as part of your job search, create a target list of companies too. That's important. Do you want to work for a startup company, or do you want to work for a medium-sized or a large-sized company? Also, geographic preference too. How far do you want to travel? Because commuting is a big portion of the job too, and it's, mm-hmm. And if you want to consider that as well. You don't want a job where it's from here to Gloucester somewhere. Gloucester, Massachusetts, that might be out of the realm of possibility, but you want to have a reasonable commute, so you have to take that in consideration too. So geographical preferences is a main portion of your job search as well. Job descriptions, you know, what are you going to be doing in the job? What other requirements are they looking for in a candidate, and how you can, as a candidate, provide that for the employer? You know, I call it added value.
I just interrupt real quick, because this is really great. When you're looking for a job and the job description, and you feel like your skill set is almost there, not 100%, but say maybe 80% of all the skills that the job description, are you encouraged to go ahead and go for it and then learn the rest? Or do you have to look for a job that you can know that 100% of the skill set is what you can do?
I think if you have if it's 75 or 80%, I'd say go for it. But if you have 50 or 40%, I'd say, you know, stay away from those type of jobs, because employers want to have the best possible candidate, because they're very picky. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies are like that, so they want to know how much skill set you have that can bring value to the company. So if you have 75-80% of the things in that job description, I'd say go for it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good advice. Thank you.
Yeah. And also, you know, when you're preparing your job search and your daily tasks, you also want to develop elevator spiel or elevator pitch too. And that's kind of your marketing, that's part of your marketing plan. So I can say, hi, I'm Richard Lunt. I'm an HR professional. I'm looking for a job as an HR generalist. I've done HR coordinator, or I've worked in several different industries in HR, or here are the skill sets that I have. I have HRIS experience. I also have recruiting experience, benefits experience. You keep it to 60 seconds. That's the top goal, is to keep it for 60 second elevator pitch, they call it.
I like that.
Yeah. And I was in an interview just recently and say, so tell me about yourself. And that's where you can actually tell the person through your elevator pitch what you're all about and how you can provide value to the company. Yeah.
That is a great, great tip. Thanks.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed, Richard. That is really great.
And to consider, you know, a job search and career change, what have you, it's a full-time job.
Mm. It sure is, yes.
I mean, developing your contacts, developing your network, and growing your network, and looking online for positions. I mean, that's a whole. It is a full-time job in itself.
Oh yeah.
So
and how do
that.
You how do you keep up with it? Because sometimes you get discouraged, and then you kind of give up, and then you get back in the game and. It's very discouraging because, like we were talking before, it's so competitive out there. So how do you stay motivated?
Well, I think, I alluded to earlier, keeping to a schedule, that helps keep you motivated, whether it's you know, doing all your job searching activities, but also find time for exercise, too. That helps keep you motivated and then go right back into your schedule as far as who do I contact today? I have to follow up on a job interview, see, you know, what the next steps are, or, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm in the loop, you know, you have to keep at them, you know, let them know you're interested, but, you know, don't push, but,
right.
But you know, you want to make sure that they know that you're interested.
Right.
You know, so follow-ups are very important in the job search process as well.
Right. Now, do you send out a thank you note after?
Yes, I do. I sent out a thank you note that afternoon when I got back from my job interview this past week. And that a lot of employers encourage that as far as thank you notes. Some people don't. I mean, but also what works for you as well. Yeah. But in my case, I have sent out thank you notes to different people, mm-hmm. You know, the main people that you interview with and all that, but whatever works for you. If you don't send out a thank you note and you still get called for a second or third interview, that works for you. So whatever works for, you know, people are different, you know, and styles are different and employers are different too. Some people may not be such as, they might not be so picky about getting the letters and everything, but some people may say, "Oh yeah, send me a thank you note." You know, so
I think
it depends on the employer. Yeah,
I think when it comes down to you and someone else, I think that if you sent that thank you note, I think that really ups your game.
Yeah, well, I think that in some cases that yes, it does. I mean, I think you have to stand out from the other person too. So the other competition, so to speak, and so in my case, I think that helps. That helps.
Very good. Yeah. We're going to have to hold you right there because we have to take a break, and then Jim Corbin will be on. But we need to talk to you more about this. Great information.
Okay.
Excellent information. Well, good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take a quick break, and Jim Corbin will be calling us with the latest and greatest of 8 degrees and sunny weather. Said Jim Corbin, never.
Citizenship and the Literacy Center are holding a citizen workshop to help people fill out their N-400 application for citizenship. The workshop will take place in the Attleboro Public Library's Balfour Room from 3 to 8 p.m. on February 28th. Project Citizenship is a nonprofit agency that works collaboratively with community-based partners to help eligible, legal permanent residents overcome barriers to become a U.S. citizen. If you would like to attend the workshop, you can register by calling Project Citizenship at 617-694-5949.
You sit down at your table, you get your card. 25 squares hold the key. Which one will it be? I-25, O-72, or Lucky B-13? Which one will be the square that makes you jump up and shout,
Bingo!
The Attleboro Elks Lodge 1014 hosts Bingo each Sunday at 887 South Main Street. Open to the public, the kitchen opens at 5 p.m. with a variety of food available. Bingo starts at 6 p.m. Prizes are awarded and proceeds support Elks charities. For further details, you can visit attleboroelks.org or you can call 508-222-5502. Remember, elks care, elks share.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14. 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we held goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Jim Corbin will be calling in just in about another minute or so. But I did get a text from another meteorologist who said that to get a perspective on the cold weather, today on Mount Washington, it's expected the wind chill is minus 100 degrees. Imagine that. Now, that is cold. That is really cold. And although I think we are getting into the minus today, and I can't wait to talk to Jim Corbin about that, I think that bundling up and make sure the kids are well bundled up when they go to the school and the bus stop on Monday. I think, yes, parents, you can breathe a sigh of relief. I think they finally are. I noticed that when I was in the grocery store, there were so many kids with parents, and parents were just looking like up in space, and I'm saying to them, because they only went to school for a day or two, and then the storm hit, and then they had the kids are off school for a couple of days, and it's like, when are they ever going to go back to school? And I just silently just laughed inside. It's like, it's payback. It's what you call payback, you know. But all is good. I mean, we're survivors. We're a hardy bunch here in New England. I mean, it's not anything that we haven't been through before, and we get through it together. And with neighbors pitching in and helping people plow out their driveways and shoveling snow and everything, I mean, I think that that's what it's all about. I know today if you go to the grocery stores, I am sure it is well stocked with food and everything, so we don't have to panic or worry. I know like all the shelves and the meats and everything were almost gone. Bread was flying off the shelves when I was there the day before the storm. And I, you know, it's like I've already got all this stuff. You know, I kind of got into it just because I wanted to get into the buzz and seeing what was going on. And I found it quite amusing. But as I go out today, I will definitely venture out again because I feel like I want comfort food. And like tonight, I want to make chicken soup because I'm very, you know, like I have the bronchitis and stuff. But I also want to pick up a roast beef and make like a Yankee pot roast for tomorrow's dinner. And then I have it for a couple of days and all is good. So it's nothing, I call it soul food, and it sure is. So Jim Corbin, tell us something good. James?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? Okay.
You survived the storm.
The last couple of seconds every time, I always miss what you said because there's like a delay. So that's why sometimes I can't figure out what you just said for the last 2 seconds. But
oh, listen.
It sounded like looking for something good.
You never have to worry about that because I'm a mom. I'm used to being ignored.
There you go. Well, you just mentioned, and good morning, everyone. You just mentioned about, obviously, the bread and milk. And I've always wondered, why is it? I mean, why not get something that's like in a can where you can just open it up? Bread and milk is perishable, right? I mean, you can put milk out in the window or in the back porch during a snow event, a cold air event, but what is it about bread, really? You know, bread.
Well, I think that you can make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
No, I know,
but stuff like that, I guess.
But bread can go bad after a while, whereas if you have something in a can or a can, the actual peanut butter can stay in the jar, or bread. You know, I don't know why, you know, bread boxes. Why were bread boxes made? Were they made to keep the bread fresher for longer? I don't know. But
yeah, I think they were. I think that's what's the purpose.
You know.
Yeah.
Actually, there's discussion now that this bread and milk thing actually started in 1950 where there was a major major storm that affected about three quarters of the country, and a good chunk of the country in 1950. In November was devastated, and it wasn't all snow. It was snow and rain, but apparently there was a storm in 1950, and then 1978, of course, for New England, especially southeastern Mass and Rhode Island, that became the staple of getting to milk and bread. I've always talked about this with many people, though. Why is it? And I think I'll ask you and Richard if he wants it, Mike. What is it about every year that people have to go and buy shovels?
Hmm.
I mean, I don't mention this to Dom a lot when I talk to him in the morning. Whenever there's a run on. Now, snow blowers, I can understand a little bit, but still, don't you just keep up your own snowblower? Why is there a run on shovels? Do your shovels break every year? I mean, why is that?
That's an interesting question. I think that, I mean, in my experience of shovels get old, wear and tear, so maybe that's why there's
yearly,
a need for shovels.
But Richard, yearly? I mean, you have to get one. It seems like every year you see the same people in line. Maybe not literally the same people, but, it seems like, is it one of these things where they don't make them like they used to? I mean, I have a 40-year-old yardstick that still works. It's made of wood. A yardstick isn't a shovel, but, I'm joking when I say that, but do they just not make them like they used to? Is that why? You know, it's almost like in the summer when we get that first heat wave in like May or June, there's a run on fans. It's like, do fans break every year or so? I mean, what is it? I mean, are we just not making things as good as we used to?
Well, I think in my case, like the shovels that we have in my family, they seem to work and they haven't broken yet. Knock on wood.
When was the last time? I'll ask you, and I'll get to the forecast because I know you want to get back to the job stuff. And real good information, by the way. When was the last time that you remember on a regular basis buying shovels or buying anything that's affected by the weather? You know, like I said, in the summer, a fan or a scraper, even an ice scraper. That first frost. Oh, I don't have a scraper. What am I going to do? use a credit card. Actually, when we had more credit cards, but seriously, I mean, I'm just saying, the talk about the milk and the bread and everything is off the shelves. I can understand food because food is short lived. Food comes and goes, but shovels and fans and things, generally don't. So they shouldn't anyway. So
yeah,
I think it's a matter of you get what you pay for. I mean, I had a shovel that I got for $8, and it was worth $8 because it was made of a cheap, flimsy plastic material, and the handle looked like a handle that was easily bent, and I broke it. So last year I actually broke down and went to the now defunct Benny's, and I bought one of those special aerodynamic shovels.
Aerodynamic,
I spent like
ergonomic, I should say.
There you
correct.
Go. And I spent about $22 on it, but it was $22 well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like the opposite of sunglasses. When I hear people that buy sunglasses, a shovel is used, but when used properly, it shouldn't really break unless you're doing bad things to it. Whereas sunglasses, these people that buy $100, $200 sunglasses, not necessarily a prescription because that's usually through a doctor, but you buy these, and I'm not going to say any brands, but these sunglasses that are $100, $150, and then by accident you can easily just sit on them and they break, and it's like, it's almost better to buy, is it, and this is just my question, and again, I will get to the forecast. The question is it better to buy cheaper things because they're going to break, but you only spend a small amount in every 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, or is it better to buy that $150 sunglasses, which I think is ridiculous, and unfortunately sitting on it, breaking it, and unless you had a warranty on it, what are you going to do?
I'll take that question.
Here we go. I thought it was going to involve shoes, but no, go ahead.
No, my shoes is a different topic altogether.
No, I know.
We could do a whole, 5 hours of that. Listen, sunglasses are important because they protect your eyes. I do have to say, I'm laughing because I did spend over $150 on a pair of sunglasses. But because they are my specialty ones, like I can use them in the snow. Like when I drive, I put them on and they're polarized and they are the best glasses I've ever owned. However, I've got three other pair in the car. You know, I call them my fun in the sun glasses. So I can pull those out anytime. But I do believe that if you spend the money once, like I've had these for 3 years now, and knock on wood, there's no scratches on them, but they come in a very heavy case. So I just protect
them. The ones that you wear, the other ones were not $150. Those are the ones that
Foster Grants, and those are the ones that you get in the drugstore or wherever, and they're not prescription. They're not, no. So I would say, you know, do what you can do, but every once in a while I think it's better to invest in a good pair of polarized lenses. Like, and you can buy them. You don't have to spend as much money as I did because, I mean, they look great, but you don't have to spend that much. But when you do spend over $50 on a pair of sunglasses, you expect them to be polarized and protect your eyes. I mean, you only have two eyes, you know, so.
But you just don't want to make sure you sit on them by mistake.
Oh, that'll never happen.
Well, no, and I'm just joking about
that. Oh, no, that'll never happen, James.
Make sure you have a good place to put them. Well, again, shoveling. Now, I'm sure you, and I'll get to the forecast right away.
Okay.
Bitter cold. Today is the coldest day in almost exactly 14 years. January 15, 2004, we had a day where it didn't get above 9 or 10 degrees. And that actually was the same day that the Patriots played their record-breaking game at Gillette Stadium against Tennessee. They were in the playoffs that year, obviously. And it was at a night game. It was in the evening, and they were 4 degrees above zero at game time with a wind chill of 25 below, and that was considered the coldest game ever at that new stadium, Gillette Stadium. So very cold. 14 years ago, this month was the last time we had a day like today in terms of temperature. Tonight, early tomorrow, 10 to 12 below zero, the low temperature. That's the air temperature. So if you're going to be up at sunrise or near it tomorrow, you'll really be facing some icebox conditions, however, with less wind, so that'll be the good thing. And then we have one more chilly day tomorrow, upper teens, and with everything, as I've always said in the past, and many have as well, whenever you go through the worst of things or the best of things and vice versa, back and forth, usually everything else that gets back to normal seems nice. So once we get through tomorrow, which is still going to be a very cold day, beginning on Monday, 30, 32 degrees is going to seem beautiful, and on Tuesday, 34, 35 is going to seem even better. So again, the fact that we've gone through something that we may not see again for 10 or 20 years, today and really in the last week or so, this is day 12 now. Talk about the 12 days of Christmas. Today ends with the Epiphany, I believe, today. Also, today is the 12th day of this cold spell. So we're going to make it an unlucky 13 tomorrow, and then we're going to finally end it. And much of next week, although not a great week of actual weather, is going to be beautiful because of what we've gone through over the last 10 days to 2 weeks.
And what about are we doing a blue moon in January?
Yes, we have. Actually, the new moon, the full moon that was on the 1st, January 1st, the full wolf moon, actually was the bad thing because it was the reason, one of the main reasons you saw all that flooding in the eastern Mass, Boston and down south, because we had very high astronomical tides from that full wolf moon. That was the 1st. We're also going to have a full moon this month on the 31st, and that will be the blue moon. And that means, again, there'll be no full moon in the month of February, which we mentioned before. It happens about every 20 years. But, of course, if it's going to happen, it's usually the month of February because the lunar cycle is 29 and a half days, and February usually, outside of leap year, has just 28 days. So there's always that chance every couple of decades that you can't fit in 28 days of full moon. And sure enough, it's this upcoming February.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
So what would you advise us to how to dress this coming week?
Oh, dress in layers through tomorrow, and then just get out, break out the sunglasses and the T-shirts for the rest of the upcoming week. No, but everything will seem comfortable compared to what we've had. By the way, the blowing snow, you might have seen it the last couple of days, blowing back on the roadways. There have been some accidents overnight into early this morning on some of the highways, I've heard on the scanner, mainly because of the snow blowing back on the road because it's been a windy, obviously bitterly cold night, but also windy. So the snow from the other day is still blowing around. So you want to be careful walking about. But bottom line is when we talk next to Lane, we're going to be looking at not temperatures feeling like 20 below zero. There'll be a lot less biting next week.
All right, great. All right, well, listen, you take care, stay warm, and
we'll
talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good. Talk to you then. Bye.
All right. Sounds great. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be talking to Richard Luntz again, and we're going to wrap up our show. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Rick Verfail, owner of Rick's Musical Instruments in Cumberland and Bravo Musical Instruments of Rehoboth, has been servicing the needs of musicians for over 20 years. Rick and his staff offer a variety of services to customers of all ages. From service and sales to rentals and lessons, Rick's also has new merchandise arriving on a daily basis for your musical needs. For more information on services available, you can view their website at ricksmusicalinstruments.com or call 401-658-3404. Shop competitive, shop local, shop smart.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you have a question about job searching strategies, where to look for a job, what are the hot jobs in 2018, we have our expert here, Richard Luntz. So, Richard, take it away.
Yeah, like you said, what are the top industries in 2018? Here in the Northeast, you have transportation, biotech, biopharmaceutical, which is a hot industry in that area, in the Cambridge area and other surrounding communities, utilities, also hospitality, also construction and manufacturing, wholesale and retail, but also some business services too, like lawyers and doctor's offices and things of that nature. But those are the top industries in the Northeast. Professional services and business services are among those as well. So, yeah. Those are the areas to consider if you're looking for a different industry, or say if you're a professional, or whether it's a sales, IT, or HR, look at the different industries that might attract your interest, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a city, local government and town government and state government jobs too out there as well.
You know, most people don't think that to look for within your city or town, but there are many jobs available and they are posted on job searching sites.
Yeah, like I go to for state jobs or like local and city jobs, I go to Mass Municipal Association, and then they have a jobs section where they list jobs in various communities, cities, and towns, and the type of jobs, whether it's economic development director or HR director or HR coordinator or benefits administrator or planner or construction worker, various towns that's where they post those type of positions over there, or even town manager or town administrator. Those are the type of jobs that you would find on Mass Municipal Association. And also the state government, Commonwealth of Massachusetts, they have a whole list of different jobs and in different state agencies, too, that's always continuously updated, too. So go to mass.gov/careers and look at the job offerings there, too. And I think in Rhode Island, they would have the same type of system, too, if you're in the Rhode Island area. In fact, if you're looking for networking, there's the Rhode Island Job Club. They meet in the evenings, and that's a networking tool. If you live in Rhode Island, if you're looking for somewhere to network, go to the Rhode Island Job Club and see what they're all about and do some networking over there, too.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another thing I wanted to touch base and talk briefly over is the resume for the 21st century. And what this entails is basically you want to have your personal information, like your contact information, name and city you live and home and cell number and email. And also you want to have a professional summary, basically, what type of you know, professional you are, you know, like a professional summary, and also followed by professional core competencies. In my case, you know, my competencies are compliance, training and development, benefits, compensation, and recruiting. Those are the type of competencies that I have in my career. And then you want to follow up with different technical skills, such as Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, MS Project, Access, Outlook. You know, those are the type of experiences and skill sets that I have in technical. And also, where in my profession, HRI, Human Resources Information Systems, which is HRIS, and Learning Management Systems. So in my case, I have ADP Workforce Now, ADP Payroll, Articulate Storyline, PeopleSoft, that, and those are the type of areas that I cover in my professional technical skills. Then you want to follow up in the next category with your professional experiences. And that's where professional experience includes jobs that you've had that is relevant to your career. And you know, use bullet points to highlight the best type of duties in your descriptions there. And also looking on experience and different experiences that you have that will be relevant to the career that you have. Also, looking at professional affiliations, too. In my case, I belong to Society for Human Resource Management and also Northeast Human Resources Association. So that's another category that you want to have in your resume is professional affiliations. And you want to end your resume with the experience, you know, other experience, and also education and other certifications too. So like your bachelor's degrees and your associate's degrees or other certifications that you might have. So, and those are the ingredients that go into a resume.
I wanted to ask you, the summary core competencies, job skills, those go on first. And then, do you put those on the first page before you go into actually your resume as far as like the job experience?
That's what you want to do. You want to have the summary, and you want to have your core competencies, your technical skills, and then your professional experience, all on one page. Mm-hmm. And then the second page is your previous experience as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all of the summary, core competency, and job skills should relate to the position you're applying for.
Exactly. Yeah, and another thing is to match your job description. You know, like create a Word document with a job description, and create a Word type of add all the words in your document as far as the job description, and copy and paste all the words in the job description, and also create an open a Wordle in the browser, and to create a cloud where everything in the job description is into this cloud type of thing, and you have the most prevalent words in the job description, and you want to match that with what you have in your resume. You try and transfer those buzzwords into your resume, so that increases the chances that your resume will be gets seen by a hiring person, a recruiter, or a hiring manager.
I think that most of us have said, when you're starting out for a job, I know I made the same mistake too. It's almost like a bragging sheet of all the things that you've done, you've accomplished, and things like that. We didn't really learn about these specific things of actually targeting the market and targeting the positions. And today you've been very clear in giving us some really great strategy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. And that's all part of the job process, the job search process. In our age right now, what we're going through, that's the way you need to approach your job search is, you know, doing your research, targeting your area that you want to be into, target market, target geographical preferences as well, the type of companies that you want to be involved in, whether it's like a startup, or do you want to go with a medium or a large size corporation, mm-hmm. where you can be part of a bigger team, Do you want to be part of a state government type of job, or city and town, or like I said, state government? You know, whatever your preferences is, but you want to target your resume and your job search around those ingredients.
Okay, that sounds really great. I mean, can people contact you? Do you have an email address or something that they can contact you for more information?
Yeah, I can.
Why don't you give that out and we'll wrap up?
Yeah, and my email is rwlunt40@yahoo.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you for coming on and braving the cold to be with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It was a great show. Thank you so much. You've given us really great strategies. I'd also like to thank Jim Corbin for calling in, Mike Catanzaro, who's working on the board, and to remind you that Monday, Dominic will be back on Monday morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on each and every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to 8, followed by Kane and Company and Donna Sprague. And today, I believe she'll be here from 9 to noon, not really sure. But from all of us here at WARA 1320, we'd like to thank you for listening and meet us back here next Saturday, where we have David Boucher from the New England Sports Village will be our guest. Take care, everyone, and have a great week.
Moving so phenomenally, you're more like the way we rock it. So don't stop.